So here we start on top of Kuflam and Tedam and Aleph. The Gemara is asking now, Hani Mukdashim Echidomi. How are these Kodesh birds? What's the situation? Our Mishnah says that Bechulin, you're Chayavin, Shiluach HaKein. In Kodeshim, you're not Chayavin, Shiluach HaKein. What is the situation in which we have a Kodesh bird that you're not going to be Chayavin, Shiluach HaKein? So Ilem Adavile Kanvido, he has a nest in his house. Vakdashe. And he's Makdish, the birds, or the eggs. Mi Michayev. That's not a case of Shiluach HaKein. Ki Yikarei Kan Tzipor Prat Mizuman. We already saw in our Mishnah that domesticated, those that are nesting in your house, those that are readily available to you, are not Chayav in Shiluach HaKein. Shiluach HaKein is only Ki Yikarei Lecha Prat Mizuman. It's only in a case where you happen upon it. So if it's in your possession and you're Makdishit, there is no Shiluach HaKein that you have to say that you're Patur Mishiluach HaKein. Even if it was Chulin, you wouldn't be Chayav in Shiluach HaKein. Ela Dechazak Kan Bi'alma. He sees a nest out in the field, Vaktishit, and he's Makdishit. He sees, he's walking through the forest, he sees a nest, and he says, I'm going to be Makdishit. And he says, Umi Kadosh. Do you have the ability to be Makdishit? The Pasuk says about the ability of a person to make something Kodesh. It says, Ish ki Yakdishit Beito, Kodesh. So over there it says, Ish ki Yakdishit Beito, Amarachmana, Ba Beito Bishuto, Avko Bishuto. There are two qualifications in order to be Makdish something. Number one is that you must own it. The second thing is it has to be in your possession. It can't just be, if you own it, but it's not in your possession, you are unable to be Makdishit. If it's in your possession, but you don't own it, you also are unable to be Makdishit. You need it to be ownership and in your possession. Over here, he sees a nest out in the field. So anyway, maybe he can be Konet, maybe he can bring it to his Balut, because it's Hefker. But his ability to be Makdishit is not there, because it's not Birshuto. It's not in his possession. It's not within his confines. It's not within his ownership confines. And therefore, he can't be Makdishit. Ella, so what's the case here? Dagbinu le'efruchim. He picks up the chicks, vaktashino, and he's makish them, bahadar hadrinu, and then he puts them back into the nest. He says, hayah filu b'chulim, na'am ilo mechayev. There, if you did that in chulim, you wouldn't be chayav. What do you need to tell me by kodesh in achayev? Tetano. Natal et abanim vechziram. If he took the chicks, he took the young birds, he took them out, and then he put them back in, vacharka chazra ha'im, and then the mother comes back, alehim, patur melesholeach. Over there, you don't have to be mishaleach, because the din of shiluach is only when it's not mizuman. If you already took possession of the birds, or the chicks, or the eggs, then it's not kiyikare anymore. It's just, now it becomes mizuman. And when the mother bird comes back, it's yours, it's mizuman, and now you don't have to do shiluach again, whether it's chulin or mukdashim. Ella, dagbale'im, vaktasha. Now the case here is that he lifts up the mother bird, and it's makdish the mother bird, vahadra. And then she goes back and incubates the eggs or sits on the chicks. Mi ikara yichayev le mishiluach. Mi kamei da'akdusha. He was obligated to do shiluach HaKein before he was makdish the mother. So it precedes the kodesh. Since it precedes the kodesh, therefore the obligation to do shiluach HaKein is already there, and he can't get rid of it by being makdish the mother bird. So the mother bird is a kodesh. I would have thought now that since he's obligated in shiluach HaKein, happened before it was Kodesh, now he has to do Shliach HaKein. Long comes the Mishnah to tell us, Avalo b'mukdashim. Mukdashim are exempted from Shiluach HaKein. Titania, Yochanan ben Yosef Omer, Higdish Chaya v'achakach Shachata. He's makdish an animal, and then he shechs it, Patur melechasot. You don't have to do Kisui Adam, because you shechted an animal of Kodesh. Kodesh is Patur from Kisui Adam, so there's nothing to talk about. Shachata v'achakach Higdisha. On the other hand, if you shechted it, and then you makdish the animal to Kodesh, chayav lechasot. Then you have to do kisui adam shekvar nitchayev kisui kodem sheyavo lidei hekdesh. Because the obligation of kisui adam preceded the hekdesh. So over here, also, you would have thought, since the obligation to do shiluach HaKein preceded the hekdesh, therefore you would be obligated to do shiluach HaKein even in Kodesh. Along comes our Mishnah and says, that only applies b'chulin, avalo b'mukdashim. Rav amar b'makdish perot shovcho, umerdu. Cases here is where he's makdish. He has a nest, and he says, whatever these birds produce will be kodesh. But then these birds decide they don't like the living conditions that they are in, and they merdu. They revolt. They rebel. They leave. And he's no longer in control. They fly away. And then they set up shop somewhere else. In that case, he was makdish them when they were in his possession, so he had a right, they were bishuto, to be makdish them. But after they were in bishuto, they leave. So now he was able to be makdish them, but now it is ki yikarei lecha. Ki yikarei lecha, because they're not living with him anymore. They're not in his possession anymore. So if he bumps into them in the field, it is ki yikarei lecha. But yet, they are kodesh, because he was makdish them while they still were in his possession. So that'll be the case according to Rav. That's the situation here. Ushmul Amar b'magdish tarnagoloto l'berek abayit. The case is where he was magdish's chicken, because the chicken doesn't go on the mizbeach, he's magdish it for berek abayit, to give the value of the chicken to berek abayit. It belongs to the berek abayit, they'll redeem it, they'll sell it, and the money will go to the berek abayit. So that'll be the case of Kodesh, and that Kodesh, you're patur mishluch hakein. So Rashi points out over here, why is it the case that Rav set up was a case where he's makdish the peirot, the offspring. Why don't you just say he makdish the birds? And then the birds packed out. They went and lived somewhere else. You could have the same din with regards to these birds. Why do you have to have be the makdish the peirot? So Rashi says, I did not have peirot, v'lo makdish shovcho atzmo, shim dionim inim ruim el shein ktanim. The reason is that yonim are only good to be brought on the mizbeach when they are tanim, when they're babies, when they're young birds. We had this before. It says, b'nei yonah, so yonim are only relevant when they are young. And therefore, if they're already adults and they're giving birth to other offspring, then they're already too old to go on the mizbeach. So if he's makdish, they're not kadosh, but dushat mizbeach. So therefore, he says that the peirot, the offspring, I'm going to bring to the mizbeach. And that's why he used the term of offspring rather than talking about the yonim themselves, as opposed to torim, which are brought as gedolim, where you could have even said it about the parents. Now the Gemara says, bishlama shlomo lo amar kirav. Shmuel doesn't like Rav to come mukim lebi kadshei berek abayit, because he has a solution to set it up with kadshei berek abayit, and that teaches us a kid a chidush that kedushim da alma abdomim ba'alma hu poter milishaleach, that kedushat damim is enough to get rid of the obligation of shiluach hakein. Not only kedushat haguf, kedushat mizbeach, enough to get rid of it. Even kadshei berek abayit, if you're makdisha the berek abayit, you get rid of the obligation to do shiluach hakein. Elo Rav, my time alone, Mark Shmuel. Why didn't Rav say like Shmuel? I'm like a Rav. Dafka kapatri mishluach kigon peirot shofcho to kodshe mizbeach ninhu. Only kodshe mizbeach, kodshe aguf are enough to eliminate the chiyuv of shliach hakein. Tekeve de kodshe kedushat aguf lo paka kedushatayu minayu. Therefore, when they have kedushat aguf and they run away, they escape, then their kedushah is not removed from them. They remain kodesh the mizbeach because of the kedushat aguf, because they were once in your ownership, and when they leave, that stays. Aval b'makdish tarnagelo to the berek abayit. If he's makdish is chicken for berek abayit, it's obviously the case has to be here where it also ran away. Because otherwise it would be prat l'mezuman. There would be no chiyuv to take it at all. So obviously we're talking about a case where this chicken took off after he was makdish it. Then, talam kochim mitzbeach, since it's not kishmeach, the dushat damim ba'almohu, since it's just kedushat damim, came into mardam, since it took off, pak'ah kedushatayu, v'chayyevet b'shiluach. The kodesh dissolves. There is no kedusha anymore on this animal. You don't have enough control over this animal in order for it to remain kodesh. So Rav distinguishes between kodesh mizbeach and kodesh berek abayit. By kodesh mizbeach, once you establish the kedusha is so strong, so embedded, it's kedusha at the goof of the bird, therefore, it doesn't leave. Even when the bird takes off and leaves your possession, the kodesh remains. On the other hand, by kodesh berek abayit, since it's about the monetary, it's the ownership value that you're really selling. It's not the animal itself that's kodesh, it's the ownership value. When it leaves your ownership, the kedusha will also leave it, because it's no longer in your ownership. You were giving the monetary value of your ownership. Your ownership has been dissolved. The animal took off. You don't own it anymore. So Rav says that it dissolves. Ushmul amar. Well, Shmuel's going to have to answer that question. How does Shmuel have it? Hey, kol hecha deita be'gaza derachmona ito. It doesn't matter. Wherever the animal goes, it's in the possession of Kodesh now. Yes, you originally owned it. And you were Makdish your ownership. But once you're Makdish your ownership, it transfers to the ownership of Hekdesh. And Hekdesh takes possession of it wherever it is. I mean that it doesn't have to come to the hands of the Gizbar to be in Kodesh's possession. Kodesh can take possession of anything anywhere. Because the Ktiv, Hashem Aretz Umlawa, the whole world belongs to God. So the whole world is like Hashem's Chatzer. And it can be Koneh on his behalf. So wherever it is, this animal, it remains in its kedushah because Berek Abayit has already taken possession of it. It's in Hashem's possession. Chenam Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan echoes a similar position as Shmuel. But Makdish Tarnagolato, the Berek Abayit and Marda. That's a similar case that Shmuel set up. They're talking about a Tarnagol that ran away. That kedushah Berek Abayit remain even after the animal runs away. Amalei Rabbi Shimon Lakish, who came in Shemarda, Pakala Kedushata. Rabbi Lakish takes a position similar to Rab, which says that if it ran away, the kedushah should dissolve. Amalei Rabbi Yochanan responds like Shmuel did. Begazad Rachmano Yito. Wherever it is, it's in the treasure house, it's in the storehouses of Hekdesh, because if they've Hashem Eretz Umloah. Now the Gemara says, Rami de Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan, Rami de Reish Lakish, Reish Lakish. They have a steerer now in the Shita Rabbi Yochanan, and a steerer in the Shita Reish Lakish, because, Dietmar, Manez Ela Berek Abayit, says this, 100 zuz, they're for Berek Abayit. Benignivu O Nevdu, and they were stolen or they got lost. You are chayav to replace the money until it reaches the hand of the treasury. The head of the treasurer. You are obligated in it. Wherever it is, Kodesh already took possession of it. And it's no longer your obligation. You got it to Hekdesh's possession because Hekdesh takes possession wherever it is. So you don't have an obligation. You don't have any achrayut anymore. So Kasha, the Reish Lakish, the Reish Lakish. Over here, Reish Lakish exercises that din of Kohei Chadita Beit Gaza. And before he was asking Rabbi Yochanan, why did Rabbi Yochanan have that position? Kasha, Rabbi Yochanan. Before Rabbi Yochanan invoked the principle of Lai Shaluach HaKeni, he invokes the principle of Kohei Chadita Beit Gaza, Drachmanita. And over here, he's not willing to, by the Maneh. So the Reish Lakish, lo Kasha. Reish Lakish is not a steer. Ha mikami deshamein by Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi, ha the batter. We had a similar thing back earlier in the Masechta. We discussed this idea that sometimes Reish Lakish changed his mind because he heard it from Rabbi Yochanan. We have other issues because sometimes it's about a Mishnah, so it's not so clear why Reish Lakish didn't know it. But here, Reish Lakish originally had a position, or he was questioning Rabbi Yochanan about the din by the Shiluach HaKein. Once he heard the logic that Rabbi Yochanan gave, when it came to this case of Maneh, Zeh LeBerek HaBayit, He applied the principle that Rabbi Yochanan taught him, and therefore he had changed his mind, or he now holds that principle that Rabbi Yochanan had given him, which is that Hechadita Bebe Gazi Rachmanita. Rabbi Yochanan Kasha. That's not a stira. Had Amar Alai Harder Amar Harizu. Depends on how the nether went. In one case, he says Alai. Alai means is a nether, which means that I'm obligated to ensure that it gets there, and the nether is carried out. Harizu means that I'm makdish the object, the chefetz, but I have no personal obligation to do or to discharge the obligation. Bichlal, from this you would infer the Reish Lakish, Avigav demar Alai lo mechayiv, that Reish Lakish would disagree with Rabbi Yochanan and say, even if I said Alai, I don't have to replace it. Vatanya, it's a Mishnah. It's a Mishnah that we've seen before. Ezu neder, ezu nidava. What's the difference between a neder and a nidava? A neder, hare omer hare alai ola. This person obligates himself to bring an ola. Nidava, hare omer hazu ola. This animal is an ola. So ma med neder the nidava. What's a nafgamina? Neder, in a case of the neder, meto nidava. If the animal dies, or is stolen, oshavda, or gets lost, chayav bachriyotai, you have to replace it. Your neder is that I am obligated, the neder the person's taking is that I am obligated to bring an ola on the mizbeach. So now, yes, you were makdish the animal, but when the ola doesn't end up on the mizbeach, you haven't discharged your obligation to bring an ola on the mizbeach. You obligated yourself to ensure there will be an ola on the mizbeach. On the other hand, when you say, harei zu ola, this animal is an ola, the only obligation you have is that this animal will be an ola. You have no personal obligation to ensure the ola ends up in the mizbeach, just this animal will be designated for ola. This animal is no longer around, then you have no longer have an obligation. It's the chefetz that's kodesh, not a personal obligation for you to ensure that there's an ola. In our case, over here, I understand Rabbi Yochanan's position. Rabbi Yochanan's position is, you said, harei zu, that tarnagol, it's kodesh. You have no personal obligation, it's harei zu, the berek habayit. Therefore, wherever it is, the gizbar takes possession of it. And that's why you're patur mishloach hakein. On the other hand, here, the person said about the money. He said, harei alai. Then yes, in terms of the money was owned by the kodesh, and they have it. So fine, Kodesh got the money. But what you didn't do, you personally, your obligation to ensure that the money got to Hekdesh, you haven't discharged your obligation of Harei Alai. So yes, the money might be in the possession of Hekdesh, but your personal obligation to get it to Hekdesh, you have not discharged. And that's why Rabbi Yochanan says you have to replace it. Rashi says, Mixar Akrava, Tichi Amar Alai, Hochik Amar, Alai La'avil Da'azara. Alai is not just a nether that I'm going to make something Kodesh and then Gizbar gets it. Alai means that I will ensure that it gets to the Azara. Alai is a more personal obligation to ensure that whatever is supposed to happen here, I make sure it happens and gets there and everything will happen like it's supposed to.
So my focus in our case is only on Harei Alai?
Yes. Everybody agrees by Harei Zu, even Rabbi Yochanan would agree there that you've discharged your obligation, there's nothing else to do. Harei Alai, it sounds like here, the Gemara is suggesting that Rabbi Yochanan is going to say there's a different din by Harei Alai. Rabbi Yochanan holds to the principle that it is in Hekdesh's possession. Then you discharge your obligation, but in this case, he hasn't finished the nether. The nether is he's got to get it to the Azara. So that's why he's got to replace it. Even though Hekdesh, quote unquote, owns it somewhere, it was lost, it was stolen. Nevertheless, he's has an obligation to get it. Quoted a mamar that says, we're saying Rabbi Yochanan is saying Chayav. Why do we say Rabbi Yochanan is saying Chayav? Because he said Harei Alai. The implications from that are Reish Lakish, who disagrees with them, is arguing on this point of Harei Alai. Gemara says, well, how could Rabbi Reish Lakish argue on Harei Alai? It's a Mishnah Mufreshet that Harei Alai creates this obligation, and Rabbi Yochanan's right. So that can't be the explanation. So Amar Lacha Reish Lakish, Hanei Milei Kodshei Mizbeach, The mechusar hakrova. Shlaki said, I'm going to differentiate between kodesh mizbeach and kodesh bedek habayit. Probably along the lines of your question, why do I have to get it to the azara? The azara is only relevant by kodesh mizbeach. So there, when I say harei alai, then I've obligated myself to get it on the mizbeach and ensure that it gets there. Aval kodesh bedek habayit, the lav mechusar hakrova. Kodesh bedek habayit, the only thing is to get it in the possession of hekdesh. I've done that. It's in the possession of hekdesh. And they are arguing. They're arguing in Harei Alai. Yochanan says Harei Alai to get it to the Azarah, to get it to the Mikdash, is an obligation both in Kodesh Mizbeach and Kodesh Bedek Habayit. Rish Lakish says that's not true. By Kodesh Mizbeach, it's relevant to get it to the Azarah. Therefore, the obligation is there when you take the nether. By Kodesh Bedek Habayit, there's no obligation because the nether does not obligate you to bring it up to the Azarah. It obligates you to get it to the possession of Hekdesh that you've done already. Vatnan. Don't we have a Mishnah? Haomer shor ze ola, bayit ze korban. So if you say, this shor is an ola, this house is a korban, meta shor, nafala bayit, enu chayav. If the shor dies, then you don't have to do anything. Nafala bayit, the house falls down, enu chayav achriyutan, you don't have to do anything because you said ze. These items in particular were chayav, they no longer exist. Shor ze ola yola. The other hand, if he says that I'm obligated to bring this shor as a korban, Bayit ze alai korban. I'm obligated to ensure that this house ends up as a korban. Now, when we say korban over here, we mean lebedek habayit, because that's also called a korban. We're not talking about that the house itself is a korban, but rather that I'm going to give it to bedek habayit. Meit ha-shor, if the shor dies, then, or nafala bayit, or the house falls down, chayav l'shalem. You still got to pay it back, because you haven't discharged your personal obligation. So now you have a case here of bedek habayit. And in case of Bedek Habayit and Kodshei Mizbeach, you have Shur, which is Kodshei Mizbeach, you have Bayit, which is Bedek Habayit, which is Kodshei Bedek Habayit, and the Mishnah distinguishes between Harei Zeh and Harei Alai. It's just like Rabbi Yochanan saying that there is this distinction still applies even in Kodshei Bedek Habayit. That's against Reish Lakish's position. Why it says that different? Hani Milehecha de made Shur v'nafal Bayit. The difference in the case of the Mishnah is that when the Shur dies or the house falls down, then you have to pay to let Nehu.
Right.
They don't exist anymore. So that's why you have to replace them. That we can answer and say that over there they don't exist anymore. Since they don't exist, you have to replace them. But in our case, where they are still extant, says we can apply this din of Hekdesh Onim wherever they are because they still exist. And they still exist, and Hekdesh has them wherever they are, and you discharge your obligation. Everybody agrees when it comes to Erachin, Afagav Damar, Alai, Lo Mechayev. Even if you said Alai, you're not Chayev. My time. It's a Lo Mitmar Le, below Alai. There's no way to say a neder of Erachin unless you say Alai. Hechi Lema. What are you going to say? Lema Erki, my value. So Aman. Who's obligated in my value? Lema Erach Ploni, the value of someone else. Aman, who's obligated to the other person's value? Saying that, that's nothing. You have to obligate someone in paying the erech. So it has to be alai. I'm obligated. So alai will always be used as the term. There's no way to say the neder without alai. And therefore, it's not going to have the implications that alai has in other places, where you had a choice in saying hare zu or hare alai, and you chose to say hare alai. Can you say, I'm in my value. Hareini berach ploni. There's a way to say it without using the word alai. Vo, Tanya. We have a brighter. There's a pasuk by redeeming of a field. And over there it says unnecessarily. We already in the pasuk said erkecha. We see by Kodesh and Maser that you can redeem them. If they get stolen, or if they are lost, you're not chayiv to replace them. You would think the same is true when it comes to Erachin. You have to pay the Erachin. Erech is your problem until it reaches the end of the Gizbar. If you want to say the statement of Avnun, you should say it this way. Everybody agrees by Erachin. Even though he didn't say Alai, Michayev. Because of this pasuk. You're always obligated to pay it. You're always obligated to ensure that it gets to the Kohen. Because it's not Erachin until it reaches the hand of the Kohen. That's what we learn out. It's Gezerat HaKatuv. Gezerat HaKatuv is that it's not considered Erachin until that point in time. Now, Tosva notes over here that the cases seem to be non-parallel. We're matching Hekdesh, that's Mitzchalel, to Erachin, which are Ikar Kodesh. Meaning that you're trying to compare cases of Hekdesh or Masrot, where you redeem them, and then the money takes on the Hekdesh, and the items are Chulin, that if they get stolen, that you don't have to replace them, to cases of Erachin, where the Ikar money is what is the Hekdesh. So he says he doesn't see how those are necessarily parallel. The Gemara is creating an equivalence between them, but it's not so clear that the two are equivalent. The answer in the end is Rav Nuna says that you're always obligated, there's an underlying obligation over here to give Erechin until it reaches the hand of the Gizbar, because there's no alternative. It's not Hekdesh until it reaches the hand of the Gizbar. You can't apply the principle of wherever it is, it belongs to Hekdesh.
Tanur Banan, ki karei kan sipor defenecha, ma Talmud Omar. Why did the Torah have to tell us this? The Fisha Namar, because in the subsequent pasuk it says, Shaleach Hishalach et ha'em ve et ha'bonim tikach lach. So I would have thought that the doubling of Lashon Lashaleach Tishalach is an imperative that you go out and search for this mitzvah. So Yochol Yagzor Beharim Vigva'ot Gideim Tzahan, that a person has to go out and search in order to be do this mitzvah. Talmud Omar Ki Yikarei, that only when you happen upon it, Bit Me'ora Lefanecha, when you chance upon this mitzvah, then you do it. There's no obligation to go and search for this mitzvah in order to do the mitzvah. Kan, what does Kan come to teach us? Mikol Makom. That'll be in tomorrow's daf with regards to the Mishnah. It'll teach us that even instances where I thought maybe something should be included, in cases, for instance, where you have a single egg or a single chick, which aren't included in Efrochim HaBeitzim, the word Kan will tell us, Mikol Makom, Tzipor. That'll be at the beginning of tomorrow's daf, the end of today's daf, Tzipor, Tehora, Velo Temea. Tzipor comes to teach us that only kosher birds are Chayav in Shiloh HaKein, but not tamei birds, not non-kosher birds. Lifanecha. Fanecha teaches us, the word lifanecha seems to indicate b'shut ha-yachid, that only in a private domain, an area which is guarded in some way, like an orchard, but it's not totally under your control. It's not an area where you control everything. Baderech, birshut ha-rabim, that's out in the public domain. Bi'ilanot minayin, how do I know that if the nest is found in a tree, that you're also chayev? Talmud Omar b'cholet, because the pasuk says, and we only have the beginning of the pasuk here, but it continues, Yekorei l'kan sipor lefanecha baderech b'chol eitz ol al ha'aretz ofrochim ol beitzim v'em rovetzad al ofrochim ol beitzim lo tikachayim al banim. So now we dash in b'cholet, then b'borot shichim u me'arot. How do I know that by cisterns, ditches, caves, caverns, minayin? How do I know you also chayev the nest is there? Talmud Omar ol ha'aretz, on the ground. V'chi ha'machar shesofeinu l'rabot kol davar. If that's in the case, in the end we say ol ha'aretz means anywhere, then what do I need the words of Lifanecha and Baderech before, which seem to indicate Lifanecha is the Rabot Rishut HaYachid. Baderech is to include Rishut HaRabim. What do I need those for in the end? I'm going to include everything. This is the limud. Ma Derech She'en Kano Biyadecha. Just like on a way or on a path, the nest is not in your control. Apkosh She'en Kano Biyadecha. So too, any situation in which the nest is not in your control, you're not easily able to grab the chicks or the eggs because they're not in your domain. Mikan Amru. From here they say, Yone Shovach. V'yoni aliyah, so the doves of the dovecote, the wild doves of the dovecote, the doves of the loft, v'tziparim shekananu b'tfichim, or birds that have made their nests on the cornices, and Rashi describes here some sort of bowls or plates that they used to put on the top of the walls for the birds to nest on and to feed on, u'bibirot, and the towers, v'avazim v'tarnagolim, then also the geese and the chickens shekananu b'pardes, that set up shop, that nested in your orchard, because they're not in your direct control. If they nested in the house or in the chatzer, or the Herodian pigeons, because those are within your control. Why do I need that at all? I already know that from the beginning of the pasuk, which says that excludes something that is readily available to you. So you're giving the same lumud that comes out of the pasuk already from Ki Yikarei. So that can't be what the necessity of the words Lefanecha and Baderech are. Ve'od, you've only explained to me one of the words, which is Baderech. Lefanecha alamali, what about the word Lefanecha? So Ela Lefanecha le'etuyesh oyu Lefanecha merdu. Lefanecha comes to include a case where they used to be yours, but then they flew the coop. They decided that they no longer wanted to be here with you, and they set up shop somewhere else, nested somewhere else. So even though they originally they were mizuman, once they leave you, they gain a shame of lo mizuman, and they will be considered as ki yikarei. Baderech, that comes to include ki Rav Yehuda Marav. Dam Rav Yehuda Marav, matzak kan bayam, if you're on a nest floating in the ocean, chayav b'shiluach, you are chayav in shiluach, shenemar. Because they have a pasuk that teaches us, kom ha-shem anotein bayam derech. So we see the word derech has application even to the yam. So even though it's not al ha'aret, nevertheless, because of baderech teaches us that anywhere that's baderech. And the yam also has a shem baderech. El mi'ato, if that's the case, mi'atzakan b'shamayim, if you found a nest up in the heavens in the sky, dichtiv derech nesher b'shamayim, that the way of the vulture is in the sky, ha'chanami d'michayi b'shaloch ha'kan, you'd have to also do it over there. Derech nesher yikre. Over there, it's a modified term derech. It's derech nesher. It's the way of the vulture. It's not just a plain derech. Derech stama lo yikre. So there we wouldn't say this din. So Amrilei Popunai the Rabbi Matno. People of Popanai said to Rav Natan, Matzah kan berosho shel adam, a nest on someone's head. Mahu, what's the din? Amar quotes a pasuk from Shmuel Bet, when Hushai comes to David after the merit of Shalom has begun to tell him that he's with David, but he's too old to go out with him. And David leaves him behind in the city to help him out to try to overturn or undermine the advice of Achitofel. And there, the appearance of Hushai Arki is Vadma urosho, that he had dirt, he had the dust of the earth on his head, to show his dismay at what had happened here with Avshalom. So what do you see? You see that even though it's Al Rosho, it's still called Adama. Even though it was on his head, it still had the shame Adama from the ground, from the earth. And therefore, whatever's on his head is also qualified to be considered Al Ha'aret. And a nest on the head of an Adam will be considered a Kan that you would be Chayav in Shiloh HaKan. Moshe min HaTorah minayin. So these Poponai asked Rav Matna also, where is there a hint to Moshe foretelling his birth? It says at the end of Bereshit, it says, B'shagam hu basar. Hashem gets upset at the behavior of man. He says that because they are made of flesh, therefore I only let them live 120 years. Now the pashtut of the pasuk is that Hashem will give them an additional 120 years before he punishes them with the mabul. Not that people will only live 120 years. Here the Gemara is darshaning bishagam. As Rashi says, the gematria of bishagam is 345, which is the same as the gematria of Moshe. And then bishagam u'basar, and that he'll live 120 years, which is exactly the lifespan of Moshe. So the 120 years, they're referring to the lifespan of Moshe, not to the duration in which Hashem will give a reprieve to the world until he destroys it. Haman min haTorah minayin. How do I know that Haman is found in the Torah? Where does the Torah foretell Haman? Says, because Hamin ha'etz. But the play will be Haman. Ha'etz mean that Haman will be hung on the tree. So that's a hint in the Torah to Haman. Esther min haTorah minayin, where we have a hint at Esther in the Torah. It says, Vanochi haster astir. So there, Esther, which mentioned in the form of the verb here, but also it's a time of Hester Panim, when Hashem's appearance will not be, or Hashem's presence will not be so apparent, and that's exactly the story of Purim. At a time when there is Hester Panim, Esther will become about. Mordechai min haTorah minayin, where do we know that Mordechai, or the foretelling of Mordechai from the Torah, Tichtiv Mar Dror, the Bsamim from the Ketoret, over there, the Targum of that, Metargaminan, Maridachia, that's the clean, or the Tahur, Mira. But that makes up Mordechai, the conjunction of those, or the joining of those two words would make it into Mordechai. And it's Mar Dror is the Rosh B'samim, the head of the B'samim. And so too, Mordechai was the head of the Sanhedrin. He was the head of the people in the time of the story of Purim. Ve'ezu she'enu mimizuman. What is considered to be not mizuman? So there we saw that the Yone Herdasiot, which were mentioned in our Mishnah. Rav Chiya, Rabbi Shimon. Chatani Hadrasiot, Chatani Herdasiot. Mandatani Hardasiot, the one who says in our Mishnah, it's Hardasiot, the Reish before the Dalid, Hashem Hordus, because he was the one who began to domestically grow or bring up these pigeons, and therefore they're named after him. Mandatani Hadrasiot, where he puts the Dalid before the Reish, Hashem Mikomam. That's because where they came from, and that's why they're named Hadrasiot. Amarav Kahana, Lididi Chazion, I saw the Kaimin Shitzar Dari Bepate Mila. I saw some of the remnants of Hordus's pigeons that he had brought up, and they had these rows, 16 rows, that extended for a mile, Havikaro, and all the birds were calling, Kiri, Kiri, my master, my master. Havachad ma'ayu, delo Havikari, Kiri, Kiri. One of them was silent and refused to chirp and say, Kiri, Kiri, my master, my master. Amra lo chaverto, its friend turns to him and says, Suma, as Rashi says, you blind fool. Amri, Kiri, Kiri, why don't you say, master, master, like the rest of us? So Amra, this bird responds, Suma, you fool. Amre kire bire is one lashon, or kire kari is the other lashon, but biri being a lashon of evid. That means that kiri, the master, is really an evid. Hordus was not a descendant of the Chashmonaim, but rather he was a servant in the family of Chashmonaim that took over from the dynasty of the Chashmonaim. So he says, you're saying it wrong. It's not kiri kiri, it's kiri biri. Zatuo vishachtua. The abadim of Hordus came along and shechted that bird that was causing a little trouble over here, was trying to suggest that Hordus was an evid. So Amravi Ashi, Amrali Rabbi Chanina, Rukhina told me, Milin, that which transpired here is all a fairy tale. This really didn't happen. Mar says, Mili Sakadalka, how could you say that this is all made up? Rav Kahana says, I saw this. Ela Ema Bimilin. This all transpired through sorcery. This wasn't something that just happened or the birds do this, but it was something that rather didn't transpire through sorcery. Okay, we'll stop over here.